Not a bit nervous, so you guys can calm down and not be nervous either. We'll just all not nervous together. How's that? That work? Boy, it's good to laugh in the Lord's house. I mean, it really is. You never know what a day might bring. You never know what could happen. And me and Brandy, we're just talking, and Josh on the way over, how surreal it is, but at the same time, how familiar it is too. And I just want to say it is so good to see each of you. Felt like coming home, and that's a good thing. I tell you, it really is. You know, I can tell and feel that there's been a lot of prayers and praying, and I need it, because nobody's worthy. You just want to try to do something for the Lord and stand for Him and just give Him all the praise and glory and the honor. But it sure is good to be here. I've been looking forward to being with you, and just want to be a blessing and be a help. I've been thinking over the last few years, even just reflecting how much you as a church helped me. Me and my family, you were with me probably during the hardest time of my life. And I was just really thinking back on that and how much that you are a blessing to me. And we want to be a blessing and a help to you this morning as well. If you will, let's be turned to Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Just give a brief introduction or maybe a reacquaintance. Brandy's still at Appalachian. She's still working there, and I'm no longer with Appalachian. I'm actually working for Farm Bureau. Begin working with them in March, and so Josh is the one who's toting the gun now. I've took my gun belt off, and Josh now wears it, but he wears it at Tweetsie. He's the sheriff and the bad guy. At Tweetsie. So depending on what day you go, he might be the good guy or might be the bad guy. But it always washes out in the end, if you ever notice that, you know. But he's the gun-toting fellow there. But proud of him, so thankful for him. And I just want to say also how much we appreciate Brother Tim, Sister Jenny, and what they're doing for Collegiance, with Collegiance. That's a blessing. I tell you, Josh has gotten a lot out of that, growing and learning, and met his girlfriend there as well. Wonderful place for that to happen. She's back home in Wilmington now, but it's just a really, really good mission, and I appreciate that. And again, just so good to reacquaint with everyone. And I wanted to read something first. The message will actually be out of Matthew 26, but being that we are also doing the Lord's Supper as well, I did want to read a few verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I just want to read verses 27 through 31. I don't want to rush anything. When you think about communion service, it's something that takes preparation for. It takes time, not just a few minutes maybe or what have you, but in preparation, the church here knew, knowing that it was coming, should be preparing for that. And I've been preparing. It's something to take very seriously. So I wanted to read this first before we actually get into the message this morning. But 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 31. And it says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged." I wanted to read that this morning while we're going through the message this morning. I wanted us to be able to think about that and be prepared of that warning that's given out. That warning comes at the end. Paul is giving that as a description of how we are to take the Lord's Supper. So I wanted to start with that this morning. Let that be present on our minds as we prepare, as we examine ourselves through the message. We should always examine ourselves through each message. We should always be looking for our place. We should always be looking to see what the Lord has for us. You know, sometimes we will hear a message, and you'll hear the contents of it, and then people look around, "Boy, I wish so-and-so was here. They could have really gotten a lot out of that. That'd been good for them." and we miss what our place is in that service. I tell you, we always have a place in the message. If you're praying for your pastor and your preacher, you're praying for the service, and they're praying as well, I promise you, you both will get something out of it. And that's what we need. We need that. I need it this morning. We all need that time of examination. Again, back in Matthew chapter number 26, verses 1 through 13. I preached along these lines last Sunday, and it's still been on my heart. And it's interesting to see how people really are. The people that you think are plugged in and engaged and they're paying attention to what's going on, they know what's going on, but it seems like maybe they're not as plugged in as even they thought. Maybe they're not maybe listening. I appreciate the Sunday school this morning. I think it's going to line up really well with the message and the importance of listening. I've talked to Brandy before. I can tell if a person's listening to me or not, because before I'm finishing what I'm getting ready to, finishing my statement, I can see their mouth moving. They're getting ready to ask another question or say something else. So, Brother Tim, I appreciate that. I've seen that. That's not active listening. But if we'll slow down and listen, let's listen this morning to what the Lord's saying. You think sometimes, I think we take for granted, we think when we read about the followers of Jesus, that they were always plugged in, engaged, and listening. But I think in this message, you'll find that they weren't. I think you'll find and see that they weren't always paying attention. But verse number one, it says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples," so he's talking to his people, "You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified." That's pretty straightforward what he's saying. "Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people into the place of the high priest who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety to kill him," and kill him. "And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be any uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment." We'll find over in John that was Mary who is being discussed here. "A precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, 'To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, 'Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that he hath poured this ointment, she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be here with everyone, see everyone again, God, just what a blessing that is. Lord, I pray that you keep our heads around this church. God, I pray for protection. I pray for clarity of mind and focus. God, I pray that you would be with each heart here that's represented, Lord, as we prepare for communion this morning. God, I pray that you help us to examine ourselves, Lord, look into ourselves, that we would be honest with ourselves and what we need to do, Lord, or what we need to ask for forgiveness of, whatever it may be, God, that we would be in the right state of mind and heart to prepare and partake of the Lord's Supper. God, I pray that you bind the devil, keep him away from this service. Help us to focus solely on you. And Lord, I pray that your precious Holy Spirit just have free reign. Lord, not following any program or anything like that, Lord, we just want your will done here this morning. We want lives changed, hearts changed, people saved, God. That's the goal. That's what this is all about. Not a form or formality, God. Lord, we just pray that your will be done here today. Go with us, lead us, and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For just a few minutes this morning, I want to preach on the topic of the most valuable thing. The most valuable thing. And when I was thinking about this, I used this illustration last week, and I'll use it again today because I think it really makes a whole lot of sense, or I think it will resonate with a lot of people. Last week, Brandy, last Saturday, they had a ladies' function at the church, and they were together and had the function, and Brandy got up to speak. You know, she loves getting in front of people and talking. It was all I could do to keep her from doing this morning, because she wanted to do the talking. I mean, she's not shy or anything like that, loves public speaking, but you know, Miss Brandy, you know I'm picking and playing. You know how it is. But, you know, for her to stand up and try to do something, she really wanted to do something for the ladies in the church. And she wanted to do something, and everything went well and all was good. And she was coming back, and I could I could identify with her, because after a service, Brother Tim, you know, that a lot of times is the most sensitive time for a preacher. Did I say the right things? Did I misspeak? Did I do something wrong? Did it come out right? Did I do everything the way I was supposed to? Well, Brandy was taking that trip back home by herself last Saturday, and she called me afterwards, and it kind of scared me. I wasn't at the house at the time, and she said, you know, it was the weirdest thing. I was coming back home from church, and I was driving. I took a left off of 88 onto 421, and you know, it's a three-lane there. You got two on the right and then one on the left. And she said, I was driving up the road, and everything just looked wrong. I said, really? And she said, yeah. She said, I had two yellow lines right here beside me on the right side of the road, and I was just driving up the road, and something ain't right. She said, I was driving on the wrong side of the road. She said, I was coming back and had all this on my mind, just, you know, thinking about it, praying about it, and coming back home. And she said, I just realized, thank the Lord, that nobody was coming, and I eased back over on the right side of the lane. I've been there. Have you been there? Have you ever been driving down the road and then your mind get on something and you're going, and all of a sudden you look up, or if you've already been looking up but you've not really paid attention to it, like, how did I get here? How did I get to this place? Am I already here? What was I doing this whole other time? You know, if we're not careful, we can look back at life like that. What was I doing that whole time? What happened? What happened? I want to use that as an illustration this morning to get our mind thinking about the most valuable thing. We see this here in verse number 1. Again, it says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples. So he's talking to his people. Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. So in 2 days, the feast of the Passover is going to take place. And the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. He clearly told his disciples that he was getting ready to die. He was getting ready to be crucified for the sins of the world. But not at one time do you see any of the disciples say, Lord, what's going on? Why does it have to be you? Why this? I don't see them preparing anything. They're not in preparation. They're kind of just going about their daily life. And you say, well, they're the disciples. They had disciple things to do. That's what we do. That's what we do today. I'm guilty of it. I got preacher things to do. I've got to prepare for this message. I've got to prepare for this. I've got to work. I've got to do all these things. And our mind gets just caught up in that. We can't get bogged down with the details. Even though somebody is telling us something very explicit, we're not listening, Brother Tim, just like was said in Sunday school. We're not hearing it. We're not actually hearing what's being said. I mean, at what point in time, if you knew somebody in your life, they came to you and they said, Brother Dale, in 2 days, I'm not going to be with you anymore. Would you not stop and say, well, Brother Jason, what's going on? What do you mean? Are you sick? Are you ill? What is taking place? Do you see at any time the disciples say, Lord, what is going on? Why? Why are you not going to be with us? What is going on? It's like they just stayed on their track doing the same thing that they've always done. Maybe thinking they were doing the right thing. Maybe thinking that that's what they were supposed to do. You know, I mean, you get locked into doing certain routines. You don't want to sway out of that. But sometimes you got to slow down and just listen to what the Lord is telling you. What is he telling you? What about, you know, say, yeah, you know, this person that needs to be witnessed to, or this person that needs to be ministered to. Yeah, Lord, but I'm doing all this right here. Somebody else will have to do that. I'm going to turn that off and not hear that. I'm not going to listen to that. And I tell you, we really miss out a lot of times on what the Lord is telling us to do because we're not listening. We're too busy doing what we think maybe we should do or what he wants us to do versus what he's literally telling us to do. You see here how everything is coming together. This is the Lord talking to his disciples, but also in verse number 3 through 5, you'll see that there's the other side that's making plans and preparation as well. And it says here, then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people into the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas, and consulted they might take Jesus by subtlety and to kill him. See, their plan was to take him and kill him in secret so it wouldn't cause an uproar. You can see the politics of it here. But they say, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. We want to do this secretly. That's how it is. When mankind's trying to do something that they're not supposed to be doing and they know it's wrong, they want to do it in secret. And that's exactly what was taking place here. You see here, they had a plan and they were working their plan. But even the disciples, it's like they were too busy, like they weren't focusing. They're driving on the wrong side of the road. Yeah, they were heading in the right direction, but they were in the wrong lane. They weren't listening. They weren't fully paying attention to what was taking place. I tell you, it's something to really think about and consider this morning. Verse number 6, we see where the Lord Jesus was at. We see where who he was with here. It says, now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he was right there with somebody that he had healed. He's staying right there with him. You know, I was thinking about that. There's a whole message in that verse. Isn't it nice when the Lord comes along and he does something to help you? He doesn't just leave you. He stays right there with you. That's what he's doing with Simon. He stayed there. He didn't run from him, or he didn't leave or just say, now figure it out. He stayed right there with him. You know, I think there's some thankfulness there. You think about the 12 that were healed, but the one that come back to say thank you. Just the one. You're going to see a little bit more of that right here as well. And it says, there came unto him, and I really pay attention to these verses here. And it says, and there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. Now this was Mary. We see that in John when you see the account there. I love the synoptic gospels, how they tie everything together from different perspectives. So we know it's just not one account. It's different people telling the same account of what happened. But we also see what this is here. This was something that was very precious. This alabaster box of spikenard, it's a balsam oil. It was something made with grass. It was very, very expensive. The Bible even outlines it and says it was about 300 pence. If you added up, that was a year's salary for a Roman soldier. A year's salary. Do you have anything at your house that's like a year's salary that you're willing just to give up? You think about how much that meant to her. That was probably the most valuable thing, materially speaking, that she had. That's what she had. That was something that was saved. That was something that was set back. Now, it was for this very occasion. She might not have always knew that, but that's exactly what it came out to be. You see how precious this is here. And I was really looking at this alabaster box. I didn't know exactly what that was. And, you know, when you think about perfume today, or you think about ointment or cologne today, you know, it's kind of a little dabble, do you? You've got a spray. You know, most of them have a spray nozzle on it, or sometimes some have a lid, you can take the lid off, and sometimes ladies will put it on their wrist or what have you, and just a little dab will do you. But something was very interesting about how this alabaster box is made up, and this is what I found through my study and my reading of it. It's a canister that was made a long-necked type of bottle. Didn't have a cork, it didn't have a lid that was placed on it. It was something that had that once you opened it, you couldn't shut it back up. Once you had to break that lid off is how that worked. You know, I see a lot of times, I'm thinking about it going in church sometimes. You know how hard it is to break the lid off of God's people sometimes? People say, I'm not worthy of anything. You're not. That's why you should be so excited. That's why it should be easy to pop that top off. Not because of anything we've done. I've said this before, using the illustration of sports. I like sports. We go crazy sometimes over watching the fella run down the field with the football or dunk a basketball, or Brother John Mark pin somebody to the mat. Like that. I've watched some of that wrestling. That's some intense stuff, you know. And here's the thing. You get so excited and wound up and you see somebody running. Nobody's going to catch him. It's going to be a touchdown. It's done. We're jumping. We're cheering. We're shouting. Guess what? You ain't the one running the football. You're not the one getting ready to dunk the ball. I wish I could. I want to, Brother Dale. I always wanted to dunk the ball, but I couldn't do it. But you're cheering along the one who can. The one who did. The Lord Jesus Christ. You think about that. We should be cheering the Lord Jesus Christ on this morning because of what he did. Who he is and where we get to go because of him. Not because of us. It's all because of him. We see that in his word. We see how all these things come together. And they're trying to figure out exactly what is going on. The disciples, you see their take on this. But Mary knew what was going to happen. What she was doing was preparing the Lord Jesus Christ for his burial. Now, why was she doing that? Was she the only one listening? Was she the only one that was paying attention that said, ye know that after 2 days the feast of the Passover and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified? Was she the only one that heard that? While everyone else was busy doing other things? She's the only one that went to prepare the Lord Jesus Christ for his burial. That's what this ointment signifies. It was a preparation for burial. She's the one that went back. She's the one that saw it and took note of this. She took him at his word. My Lord is getting ready to be crucified. He's getting ready to die. I need to prepare his body. And she went off. She didn't ask anybody else. She didn't consult with any. She didn't go to the other ones, Brother Tim, and say, what do you think we should do? She did what the Holy Spirit told her to do. See, that's a beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit when you see kind of how this works here. It didn't take them long to understand and realize something was going on. I tell you, when the top of that pot, that bottle was broken off, the entire house knew something had happened. There was no secret then. There was no hiding it. And once you take that top off, there's no putting it back in. Not that you'd want to. Have you ever been caught up in the Lord and the Lord just make it so sweet? Do you ever think I've got to get all this back in? You don't. That's not how we think. That's not how it should be. But you see how all of this comes together. This was for a very special occasion and it was all or nothing. Mary was all in. Lord, whatever you need, I'll do it. The most valuable thing that I have is yours. I give it to you. You know, I've thought a lot about how this is. We're talking about monetary things, but you think about it today, what's the most valuable thing that you have? I look at it. You know, there's things I could keep. There's things I could sell. There's things I could live with. And there's things I could live without. But I tell you, the most valuable thing that I see in our lives is time. Time. And how quickly time goes by. 6 years ago, on May 15th is when I was ordained and left this church to go pastor another church. 6 years ago. That don't seem right. Brother Mike could tell that I hadn't aged a bit, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate that, you see. That's how fast time flies by. But on and on and on, time keeps going, and I just ask myself, am I really doing what the Lord would have me to do? If you ever ask yourself that, am I doing exactly what the Lord would have me to do? Or do we get locked into an idea that this is just what I do? See, the disciples, they were locked in the idea, this is what I do. I've got to get ready for this. We've got a revival meeting coming up. We've got all these things coming up. I've got to do this. I don't have time to listen to what the Lord's saying right now. I'll listen to him in just a few minutes when things calm down. Let me tell you something. Things never calm down. Things never calm down. We, at the end of the day, end up doing what we wanted to do for the most part. There's things that we have to do, workplace, bills to pay, things like that. I get that. I understand that. But for the most part, we prioritize and do what we want to do. But is the Lord Jesus Christ in the centerpiece of that decision making? Or do we kind of push him off to the side? You see, Mary, she was paying attention. She was listening to what he said and doing everything that she could. She gave him the most valuable thing that, that she had. I don't know how much money she would have made. I think she was probably not a wealthy person. But she gave the most important thing that she had based off of what the Lord Jesus Christ was saying. Based off of what he was saying, I'm getting ready to be crucified. This is getting ready to take place. And she prepared him for his burial. This is a very special occasion. In verses 8 and 9, you see the disciples' response. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor." This made God's men, God's disciples, mad. They saw Mary do something good for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they turned it around like it was bad. They turned it into a monetary thing. A lot of times we think about money. We think about how things are that way, and they turned it into something bad. They were doing something for the Lord because she was listening. You tell they weren't listening. Had they been listening, they would have wanted in on that. But they didn't. They turned a deaf ear. They were too busy. Had too much on their plate at the time, or whatever it may be. But we see their response there. We see how they are acting. And they go against Mary and they get on her. "Why did you waste that? You know how many people we could have helped with that?" That's how we see things a lot of times, like throwing money at a situation when we need to throw the Lord at it. I'm just being honest with you. You know, money's not for everything. You know, you look back at life and you see what you need in your life. Did you need more money or did you need more Lord Jesus Christ? What would have made the most difference? What's the most valuable thing? What's something that's going to go with you forever and ever? When we see their response there, they get on to Mary about this. Now we see in verses 10 through 13, it says, "When Jesus understood it, he said to them," and when he let it sink in and he was there, of course he's the Lord and he knew everything, but let things kind of play out the way that they did, he understood it. "He said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work on me." She was paying attention. She acted upon what I said and you didn't. Why are you giving her such a hard time? "For you have the poor always with you, but me you have not always." Now that would have been another good time to say, "Lord, what do you mean? What do you mean we don't have you always? What do you mean that things aren't just going to keep going like they're going?" See, I think we get locked in to thinking about it like that sometimes. They were in a rhythm. They were following the Lord. They were seeing the miracles take place. They were seeing all of these things. They were living just in that moment, but not listening to what the Lord was trying to prepare them for. Just overshot them. They were too busy, just overshot them. But Mary was paying attention. That's something very special to take note of there. "For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial." She's preparing me for death. Another opportunity for them to say, "Lord, now let's talk about this. What do you mean?" And he says here, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever..." Or wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, where shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her? That meant so much to the Lord that every time when you're talking about the gospel, you hear this being preached, it's a memorial to her. Because Brother Tim, she listened. You know, when we actually hear the Lord, then it should change our path. Something should change. It should be the most valuable thing to us in our life. And again, I just think about our time. How are we spending our time? There's lost people dying, going to hell. Are we burdened about that, or are we too busy having church? Think about that. Think about that. Isaiah, you look back and it said, "Lord, who should I send?" And he said, "Send me." But where? Where? Where do we go? What do? You consider and think about the importance of that this morning. But I just want to ask you this morning, just to keep it plain and keep it simple. Are you doing what you should be doing for the Lord? Have you given him the most valuable thing? That's what she gave. That's what Mary gave to him. I think about lost people. The most valuable thing this morning, if you're here and you're lost, that you can give the Lord Jesus Christ is your heart. Believing in the death, the burial, the resurrection, all by the blood of Jesus Christ, nothing else. That is all my righteousness, just as was saying this morning, Brother Nathan. All my righteousness, it's just the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood. I tell you, I pray that we never lose a burden. I pray that we never lose the most valuable thing in our life, being consumed with everything else. We run the roads, keep the roads hot, thinking about this, thinking about that. Got to be here, got to do this, got to do that. And then the next thing you know, a week is gone. I have never seen weeks go by faster than I have this year. Constantly. You know what was a weird happening that really helped me probably about the most, or helped me a lot in the last 24 months, is when the whole world got shut down. You know, I got to thinking about what is the most valuable thing in my life. Is it just going on to things, just like was said, it's again in Sunday school, the things have you, I want this, I want to do this, I want to, you know, I've got a good job, I'm going to keep doing this, and just time keeps going on that way when you get locked into it like that. And then you look back and you think, where did that 6 years go? Where did that 10 years go? Where did this time go? But you know, there's no time like today to turn that around, to give that to the Lord. You don't have to leave the same way that you come here today. I want us to see that. Now, I'll say this here. You see the disciples, this wasn't the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. This was the Lord's disciples that got on to Mary. You think about Judas. He's mad about that. You look how much money we could have got for that, and you wasted it on him? On the Lord? Have you wasted any time on the Lord? Have you given as much time as you should? But now I want us to see this. If you come here this morning with the attitude of not getting blessed, you won't be. Look at what happened here. Judas's mentality, the 12's or the disciples' mentality, they were oblivious to what was going on until somewhere in the building, the top got busted off. And then the whole place filled up with it. You think about that. I want you to see that this morning, not being neglectful of that. People started paying attention then. People started looking around then. Who holds the key in their pocket? It's something to think about. Every service is that way. Again, where is your place in the service? If you will, stand with me this morning. I ask Brother Nathan, if you will, to get us a song before we prepare for communion. I always want to give time for people to pray. If you're here this morning, you're lost, be glad to show you in the Lord.